Black Culture, a show shining a light on the work that mob around the continent are doing to protect, reclaim, rebuild, and respect culture. From pre-colonial Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture and law, to caring for country, language revival practices, and black pop culture.
No more whispering in our mind.
Protect, reclaim, rebuild, and respect black culture with Sienna Stubbs from 9 till 10, continuing the legacy that is Let's Talk.
Namiri Pukmak, Ngarakoyakoya, Sienna Mayeto Urumari Stubbs. Hello, everyone. My name is Sienna Mayeto Urumari Stubbs, and I am welcoming you to AAA's Let's Talk Black Culture. But before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we are recording, the Yagara and Turrbal people, and acknowledge that these lands were never ceded and that this has always and always will be a place of teaching, sharing, and learning. Today we have a really special episode lined up with the deadliest, Mitch Curry, who is the project manager for the First Nations Creative Pathways Program. Welcome, Mitch. I'll get you to introduce yourself and, let's hear about you.
Thank you, Sissy. Hi. My name is Mitch Curry. Proud Mananjali man, Gungri from Mitchell. So my name is Mitchell. Fingal, Tweed Heads, Minyumbul, Bunjalung is my connections.
Wow. I've heard about all those different countries and I've spent a bit of time at Fingal. So that's such beautiful places.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. The water is so beautiful. It's so healing.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about who you are and how you've come to be here?
Be here, yes. So I'm currently with Black Dance. Mm. So proud, so blessed to be working for such an incredible org.
Yeah.
First Nations Creative Pathways Program. Shall I start backwards?
Go right ahead.
So I am the new project manager for this incredible program, helping mob 18 plus get careers in the performing arts industry.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So our EOIs close on the 24th of August.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our program, we're offering a free program. It's 9 months. We're running a 1 week intensive where we kind of running workshops, mixes and other kind of teaching and learning opportunities for mob to kind of get a footing in the industry. That's kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah.
The way that I kind of got here is I kind of started back in high school. I started in dance, part of a youth program, got my first kind of flash of inspiration from Bangarra.
Wow, yeah.
So I did that program. Then I went on to studying dance full time. Did that for about 2 years and then, fully fledged, went straight into the industry.
Fully
fledged.
I feel like it's important to, you know, ground yourself in learning and just goes to show how important these programs are for young ones coming up in the industry, I guess. And you had that, with Bangarra and and other orgs?
Yeah, well, it was through youth programs is kind of how my kind of journey began within the performing arts.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that and your history there?
At a time where in high school I kind of really didn't find where I was kind of fitting in or what kind of I wanted to do, and I just knew, as black fellas are, we generally are pretty deadly at dance. And I was like, okay, well, may as well give that a go and see how that kind of lands, and kind of had a talent and a passion for it. And that kind of just led me into this crazy kind of unconventional career that I've kind of had kind of getting to where I am today. I kind of started self-taught, actually.
Wow.
So I didn't actually have a lot of training until I actually went to study. But
I used to dance.
Did you? Oh, deadly.
I feel like that's part of my story growing up and the creative pathways. You know, but there's just something about, you know, us as mob.
Mm.
You know, you start dancing when you're a toddler.
That's right.
And, you know, you've got your feet on the ground in the sand.
Yes.
And that's always been important to me.
Of course, yeah.
And then, of course, when I was a young girl, I was doing ballet and contemporary. Because I had a big sister who was a dancer, who, you know, danced a little bit with Vangara. And we had her on the other week. But, you know, when I see programs like this and people like you, it just reminds me of the beauty that can come from dance.
Of course,
and, you know, how has that lended itself to you and your life?
Well, I pretty much owe a lot of my career to dance, really. Mm. For finding something that you're passionate about, you know what they say, if you find something you love, you're not working a day in your life.
Real.
You know, so I'm so blessed. Mm. You know, when I first started, I didn't have any sort of kind of, there was no real kind of clear pathway. There was no real kind of streamlined pipeline to get where I wanted to go. Mm. You know,
you didn't have like that sort of end vision of you didn't know what you wanted to do. And
I just, all I knew was I liked to dance.
I love that.
You know, and that's what's kind of, that passion and that love for the industry has kind of allowed me to find other kind of ways and avenues to be involved in the industry, you know, that I never necessarily thought was viable, you know, let alone, you know, this little black kid from Anala that just didn't really kind of have that role model growing up. Mm. Wasn't until I did programs like that that someone saw something within me. I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? This is what I could actually do.
Yeah. Do you remember those first early days? And do you remember what it would have been like on one of your first days walking into a studio or, just this...
I was like real din squeeze. I had no one to kind of, I was like, okay, I just had to keep reminding myself, I love dance. I need to do this. I need to put myself out there. This is what I've got, you know? And yeah, didn't know really anything. Like I didn't know ballet, didn't know contemporary, didn't know nothing about that. But
What did you know? You knew that you wanted to...
I just knew I was deadly.
You just knew that you were deadly.
Yeah, but,
I love
yeah.
that. And how did you grow up strong with that identity, or was it something that you've learned to, you know, you've been guided towards through all of these opportunities that you've had through dance? How do you, you know, bring yourself back to that culture?
I guess there was always this fire lit within me, like something that I couldn't really fully articulate when I was little, you know, just I always felt, you know, that I deserve to be here, you know, and just because I'm the only, you know, black face in the area doesn't mean I'm any less than anyone else, you know. I just felt like I needed to be here, you know. And I never really was growing up a confident kid either, you know. So I really had to kind of teach myself a lot of things in the way of who am I, what am I, and where am I going. Is kind of something that I've had to really stay true to and kind of continue to ask myself. And once I kind of, you know, found that, you know, that was the embers that really kindled that kind of that passion.
I love that metaphor that you bring with the fire. Do you remember sort of that was the beginning, the embers, the growing of that. But do you remember when the spark happened and when you sort of started to find this drive and this, you know, empowerment through dance, and, you know, how that led you on to that next chapter of your life?
I think for me it was seeing other black fellas doing it, you know, seeing other mob having careers in the industry and kind of, you know, that aha moment, like, oh, you know what? I can do that,
wow.
You know? And that's where it went from, oh, I'm kind of good at something to, oh, I can actually do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like as a former dancer.
No way. You're a dancer. Once you're a dancer, you're always a dancer.
Always a dancer. I love that. You know, it can feel really scary, and especially when you see globally of what dance is and ballet and contemporary and, you know, non-Indigenous people,
yes,
and black people and, you know, all the different types of dances there are and the spectrum that
it is,
you know, it has, you know, you can be a professional dancer up in the biggest leagues,
yes,
and then, you know, down to the, you know, the basic levels. It's hard to sort of put yourself on that spectrum and,
oh yes,
the competitiveness. How did you deal with that as a performer?
With me, I think there's always going to be that. There's always going to be that no matter where you go. The way that I look at it is that I tell myself there's room for everyone. You know, I'm not a ballet dancer. I'm not, you know, I've been out of dance for a hot minute now. So, you know, I've kind of, you know, put my ballet shoes away. But I think movement is within everyone, you know, and everyone has the ability to move. It's just putting it to rhythm,
I love that. And speaking on that, you know, moving away from dance, or, you know, not necessarily that being your full focus. Do you remember when your mindset shifted from that?
From dance?
Because,
yeah,
you know, for me it was quite difficult when I was going into my later teens when school started to get serious, that I had to sort of step away from dance. And I remember it was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be, you know, an even more enhanced on your level.
Oh yeah, it definitely was. Up until a certain point, I kind of dreamt that I was going to be like a professional company dancer. My life didn't actually take that kind of route, which was, it was really hard at that time. You know, I was a young person and didn't make it into the company of my dream. And yeah, it took me a while to kind of heal, but then I kind of looked back on kind of, you know, that's okay. Maybe that's not for me. But I looked, it allowed me to look back at that very beginning kind of initial moment where I wanted to do dance. And I realized that it wasn't actually the dance itself. It was the teaching. It was the person that looked into me and was like, no, you can do this. That was something that I was like, you know what? That's what I want to do.
Wow.
You know, helping other mob that, you know, to get the opportunity and the space to kind of follow that passion. That's what I kind of had to realize, that's what I really wanted to do.
And where did that realization lead you to?
Career-wise, I went to community, Mananjali country. I had the incredible opportunity of working with my elders, and I'm hearing stories of our creation and our dreaming, and then I had the great opportunity of creating a dance about it, a contemporary dance. And, yeah, that really allowed me to kind of go, okay, maybe I'm made for bigger things. Maybe I'm more behind the scenes.
Wow.
You know, choreographing or, you know, being that stepping into that leadership role of creating that space for other dancers or for other performing artists and Mob to experience that of what it's like to be on stage.
And how much of that chapter of your life could you lend to that storytelling and sitting down with your elders? Do you think how much power did you gain through that? Because that's basically the foundations of our culture, you know. It's about sitting with your elders and getting that knowledge, that sharing of knowledge.
That opportunity, it's just strengthened my connection, my community, you know. It really allowed us to bring ourselves up into a different space. It gave us strength. It gave us so much, and I'm really grateful for that moment that I got to share with my elders, and it made me a better person, you know.
Wow.
I still carry that with me.
That's it's so special and really important to have that empowerment of self. And for that to happen through culture.
Oh, yes.
Do you think that's helped guide you to do the same for others?
Of course, yeah. You know, just sharing my stories and, you know, creating a safe space, like we were yarning about before earlier.
Yes.
Today, you know, it allowed me to kind of see Mob, see people at where they're at, you know, and meeting them where they are and holding space for Mob to really, you know, express who they are and feel comfortable to express that and then work together to strengthen and to guide, to usher in, you know, their next steps in their journey.
Yes. You mentioned that to me earlier that was positioned within the youth justice system.
Yes.
Could you speak a little bit about
what that
day to day looked like
and
how you were supporting that youth and, you know, the importance of being with those people in those spaces and using this connection to support them through all of that.
That's beautiful. I love that you use the word connection. Mm. Yeah, because that's where a lot of it kind of comes from, you know. After I kind of did all that stuff in the dance space, I went back to where I grew up. Very proud, 4877 Anala.
Hey.
Shout out. And I had the opportunity of being a youth bail support officer with Anala Wongara and RYS.
Wow.
Yeah. And I worked with a lot of our young people that were involved with or at risk of being involved with the youth justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's probably one of the biggest and dearest memories I have of supporting and just being there for our young people. But I also look at it as a moment of real, it was a tough gig.
Absolutely.
For a lot of our young people, they don't have support. They don't have people that they can talk to. They're just slapped with this label of youth crime and they're just immediately written off. And I'm just, a lot of it's sad because they don't see the child first. They don't see the human. They just see the problem, which are, you know, there's, like you said earlier, I feel like people should reset and start to learn empathy again.
Yeah. I think it's a hard time that we're navigating through.
Oh, yeah.
And especially currently. And it's important to go back to that human first, that's child right. first connection. Mm. How were you using art and dance and your creativity and that Black culture to connect with these young ones?
Oh, that's so incredible. It's so insightful as well.
Mm.
Because, yeah, we, for a lot of the young people, I had the vehicle of creative arts and performing arts to share the tools of self-expression, you know. A lot of them don't get the chance of someone listening and hearing and just allowing them to be children, be you know, be their own deadly selves.
Yeah.
And strengthening that, you know, it's great that I was able to have those skills from the performing arts sector
yeah.
to kind of, you know, use that to meet people where they're at, you know.
Yeah. I feel like you'd see some pretty deadly ones in there.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and they got that rich spirit, you know. I think it's really yes. important to honour that. No matter what position, you know, someone is in.
That's right.
I think deep within, they have that spark.
Of course, yes.
And that comes from our resistance and our Black culture and our spirit, our deep being.
Mm.
I think everyone has that, and it's important to not let go of that. And when you are in some of those hardest positions, to have someone there that can remind you of that is really important.
Oh,
because 100%. I know deep within me I have, you know, deep song lines and connection back to my country
yes.
that I reach to.
Mm.
And, you know, the same goes for all mob out there, regardless of what position you're in. Because we come from country.
That's right. That's
we
right.
come from this deep thing, deep spirit.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so where has that led to you now, currently, where you're working with Black Dance?
Yes, Black Dance. It's great. I've during my times when I was studying, I'd always pop into the Black Dance office and be like, hey, Mom, what's going on? You know, just being a Doris.
Yeah, big Doris.
Same time, place of work, and I was just disrupted, you know. But, yeah, I've always, you know, during my career, I've always known these deadly mob, and this great opportunity came along for me to just, you know, help the next generation. A program like this is something that I've always dreamt of, you know.
When you were in that position, yeah.
That's right. Having someone there to just, you know, hold their hand out and be like, come on, you can do this, you know. And something that you said just before as well was quite beautiful about, you know, the supports. Something very interesting and different about this program is actually we offer wraparound support.
Wow.
So, you know, it's all these deadly things about the creative arts sector, but we're also meeting you at where you're at,
yeah,
and helping you,
yeah,
and mentoring you along that process, and really holding, you know, each other up through that.
And so you mentioned that it's a range of different creative arts, sectors.
Yes, so. This program itself, it's kind of whatever you make it.
Wow.
It's, as long as you've got the passion, you know, it's not necessarily on stage. You can be behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we need a lot of black fellas in the production space.
Yeah, wow. So you don't have to be like...
No.
Like flashiest no, one on
the
stage.
Can't get that leg up, that's right, you know. Just come on in and, you know, we'll... We, there's a lot of things that people don't understand is that the performing arts or creative arts, it's a sector. There are millions of jobs within that space, you know. If you're not made, if you don't want to be on stage, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, there's other ways that we can kind of help you. And this is what this program is about. It's about getting Mob, or giving Mob actually, that platform and that space for them to actually do
take
anything.
It and run.
Take it and run. Yes.
Because I feel like as you grow older, not necessarily now because we're changing the game, but, you know, there aren't many opportunities for that. It feels like you sort of figure out what you're going to do after, you know, in your early 20s and then that's it. That's it for the rest of your life. You have to be in that position.
That's right.
But there's no opportunities to learn and grow and develop who you are.
Yes.
And I feel like that's a big part of culture. Culture is always shifting. And,
oh, yes.
And that's the same for the individual. That's the same and goes for, same goes for us as a people. Yeah, so that sounds amazing. But it's for Mob who are aged 18 and over.
18 and
Does
over.
Does that mean like over, like you forever can, and ever?
That's right. You know what?
Up to how like...
Go on, uncles and aunties, come on in if you want.
I love that.
Yeah, it's for everyone and anyone. If you're in a different career and you're you know what, I want to switch.
That's amazing.
Come on in.
That's
amazing. We want to hear from you as well.
Yeah, wow.
You know.
I love that. Because that's a big part of black culture, you know. We can switch.
That's right.
We can change it up.
You're allowed to.
Do you remember like a time where you wanted to, where you thought, oh, I'm going to do this instead?
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
Well, I also have a love for theatre.
Wow.
And I also have a love for costume design.
Mm.
And yet directing, acting, you know, you can do anything that you want.
I love that.
There is no glass ceiling,
you
know, we're told there is, but it's like, no. There is it.
You can actually break through.
Yes.
Break through the glass.
Break through.
And when you start to, you know, doing all of these amazing things, you can get really excited. But it does take a lot of emotional.
Oh, yes.
You know, it takes an emotional toll on you. How do you regain that spirit and regain that culture and bring it back? Heal your spirit in a sense. Do you ever get back on country and how often do you try to do that?
Not as often as I would love to. But yeah, recently with NAIDOC that just passed.
Wow, yeah.
I went back out to Bowie and got to see Mob and
I was recently down at Bowie. It's such beautiful country there with the escarpments and the, what do you call it? Like the mountain range.
Oh, yes.
Like right there.
Yeah, right there.
Right there. It's like right there.
Yes, right behind McDonald's.
So special. Such gorgeous. Special country. So you said you try go out there when you can.
Yeah. Well, I went out there to drop some flyers because, you know.
Bless.
I really love to just connect with Mob and that's part of, you know, the healing of being around people that love and support you and, you know, that see good in you and that listen, you know, no matter what you're going through, you know, we got each other.
Yeah. And for the Mob who might not know what they want to do, where they want to go, if they're interested in this, stuff. What would your words of encouragement be for them?
don't hold yourself back, you know? Shame there. Leave them down the road. Don't
yeah, no shame. No shame. I feel like that's a big thing that it I've is. Always yeah. I've always lent my creativity to.
Mm.
I don't know where I learned it from. I think it just came from my deadly mind.
Yes.
But I think shame is holding so many people back.
Oh, yes.
You know, you can't be shame because that's stopping you from living your life, right?
That's right.
It's inhibiting you from your full potential.
Mm.
And for Mob, we got to let that spirit grow.
Yes, let it free. Let it free.
Let it free. You know, of course, within cultural barriers.
Yes.
Hold it strong.
Yes.
but you know, I think it's important for Mob to realize their true self and not hide from any of that.
No, we want to meet you.
Mm.
I want to meet you.
Yeah.
Come down. Come see us at Black Dance.
I love that. And any final words on your heart, on your mind that you want to share with our beautiful, deadly Black culture audience?
Oh, I just want to say thank you, Sissy, for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
I just walked in the door. You're like, come and let's do this now. I was like, all right.
I think that's so important because it's important for like that yarn, that creative spirit of just yarning.
Yes. For anyone that's listening, you know, just follow who you know who you are and what you want to do and where you want to be, you know.
Mm.
And there's probably mob out there that are like minded, or you know, there's probably mob out there that have programs that help you get there.
I love that.
You know, don't be frightened to put your hand up.
Mm.
You know,
That's in my language. We say yakka gori, like no shy, don't be shame.
That's beautiful.
No space for shyness here.
Go on, put that as my ringtone.
Go on. Download.
Yes.
Go to the AAA website. No, thank you so much for coming on, Mitch. It was so deadly having this yarn with you. And if you are really interested, head to the Black Dance First Nations Creative Pathways Program website. You got a website.
Yes. Come on into AAA. There's flyers here.
There's flyers here for you to pick up. And there's a QR code for you to scan right here. I can see it.
There is. Remembering our EOIs close on the 24th of August. So get them in fast.
Mm.
We want to hear from you.
I love it.
Yeah. Even if you're a bit, you know, you go onto the EOI website and you're a bit confused with it, that's okay. Get in contact with us. We can help you with your registration.
Amazing.
You know?
Amazing. Just
put your hand up and we'll come out and we'll help.
I love that. So you can apply now at blackdance.org.au.
Beautiful.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Mitch.
No, thank you.
Do you know how to say goodbye in your language?
No. That's
how do you say goodbye usually?
See ya.
See ya later. No.
See you, Bob.
See you never. Ma, nama yalala. If you would like to listen back to this episode of Let's Talk Black Culture, you can head to AAA's website at AAA.org.au. Otherwise, tune in next week for another deadly episode every Wednesday from 9 a.m. Thanks so much. Nami alala. Have a beautiful day.
No more whispering in our mind.
Let's talk Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. on AAA Murray Country, the National Indigenous Radio Service and iHeartRadio. You can catch up on AAA.org.au. Proudly supported by the Community Broadcast Foundation.